All right, let's talk about aliens.
Cool, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Blow my mind, David. Peel my mind like a
peel
grape.
I will
and
rip
scoop it out with a melon scooper. Do it.
Yes.
Well, we're live. It's me, Huntley. I'm with my cohorts, Andy and David. And David's with us this week. Tell us what happened last week.
Yeah, so I was kicked off of the ether, and it took me a good 24 hours to figure out what was going on. I had to meditate, go into a trance.
Good.
You know, had to pull out my occultish dice and divining rods to figure out what the fuck is messing with my signal.
Are you?
And I figured it out. It was Xfinity that was the source of this issue. So that these are the gremlins that have been, more precisely, I think Xfinity is like the minion gremlins of a much larger, much more sinister entity called Comcast.
David, David, is this your impression of me?
No,
that's the route.
I mean, maybe
that's the route I would have taken.
I know it's the route you would have taken, but I thought it was just too good not to pass up because it's just so appropriate. I mean, they've come after you for God knows how many episodes, and now they're latching on to me.
They're coming for you, man.
Yeah,
Huntley's next.
Yeah.
They're coming for you.
They're plotting.
But last week, we had a therapy session for an episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Motivational episode.
Motivational episode. Because we had to pivot and we didn't really have much. I had an inkling of a topic that I was going to do later. And I was just like, well, we're doing it now. But you were going to tell us about ancient Stargates.
Yeah. So it's been like a week since I looked at the notes, so I'm going to be re-remembering some of this stuff, so I am excited. Basically, the idea is that there have been potentially either currently active, or once active Stargates, or like the remnants of Stargates that will transport us to, I don't know, somewhere in the stars, or maybe it's like another dimension or plane of existence. I mean, who knows? I wanted to like go over some of the big ones and then more specifically focus on a collection of stories on one of them, which I think is very interesting. So we'll start with some of the big ones. I think the prime one that people really love to point at is in, if I can pronounce this correctly, Göbekli Tepe, which is in Turkey. Mm-hmm. And the ruins of this ancient, I think it was one of the Mediterranean civilizations that was kind of wiped out in the Bronze Age, that they kind of dug up all the stuff. Anyways, there's some weird stuff with this like set of arrangement of like stones and like ruins of this city. There's like concentric circles surrounding this structure, or what's left of it, and it looks like there could have been an archway. And the dating for these stones and materials like doesn't really match up. Like the stone and the rocks is much older than you would expect to find with like carbon dating and whatever. So for some reason, these stones are, it seems like they've been there for like tens of thousands of years, maybe 12,000 years or so, way longer than, recorded civilization anyways. That's kind of the big one that everyone likes to point to. There's a couple others. There's some in Egypt. Apparently there's hieroglyphics in Abydos, Egypt, that kind of depict like flying aircraft and flying saucers and stuff. It's one of the oldest cities in ancient Egypt. I'm just kind of scrolling through. This one was interesting. It's in Tiahuanaco, Bolivia. It's called the Gate of the Sun. and it is.
Is that the pyramids?
I don't know if anyone.
The Bosnian pyramids?
No, this one in Bolivia is just like a.
Oh, you said Bolivia. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, Bolivia. Although I don't know if Bosnia is on this list that I have open right now. I will have to look.
Also, I'm
going to
add something real quick. Another thing about Göbekli Tepe, it was purposely buried.
Oh, interesting. Ooh, I did
little,
not know that.
Little knowledge, little nugget there to spice your story.
Maybe so. Something came through and they're just like.
It sounds familiar, right?
We gotta.
We've all seen Stargate the movie, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no telling what's on the other side. That's interesting. Damn. Shit. But yeah, the one in Bolivia is called the Gate of the Sun, and it's like a big archway. It's like a big doorway. It's like the side of a building, what it looks like. Mm-hmm. And it looks like this doorway is, it's hard to tell from this picture, maybe 10 feet tall, a couple feet wide. It's like a big thing. And then the two side walls are kind of normal looking. And then on top, there's like a picture of like a deity or something. There's a bunch of ancient writings on the like top portion above this gateway. And this one was supposed to be, yeah, basically a Stargate. You'd step through and you'll, let's see. Tiahuanaco City is said to have been one of the most important sites in ancient America, with legends stating that the sun god, Viracocha, appeared in the city and made it the place of creation, the place he chose to start the human race.
Hmm.
So maybe that's interesting. Hmm. That's an interesting origin story. Yeah. Oh, that reminds me of Göbekli Tepe. The way everything is set up, it aligns with like a constellation in the sky. Like a set of stars, like the Cygnus or Sirius star systems. Apparently it's not my notes in front of me, but that's another interesting thing about that place. And then there's a couple of others. There's Stonehenge. Who the fuck knows what Stonehenge is? There's all kinds of crazy shit with that. There's a stone arrangement at the bottom of Lake Michigan. Then a couple more places in Egypt and Peru. Yeah, that's something I should have looked into. But
so these are all kind of hinges too, then, or a lot of them are somewhat the hinge, mm-hmm. like Stonehenge, the same shape. You know, they're all kind of structured similarly, and that kind of, and they're all circular, right? Basically,
the Lake Michigan one is like a circular thing. But like the Gate of the Sun, there's no other structures. It's just like, well, I guess that structure is kind of circular. It's like a archway, but it's like a square. They are like whatever formation. I mean, Stonehenge is like a collection of rocks, right? But it's a big circle. It's that circular shape is kind of interesting. Interesting characteristic with all these. And, the one that I really want to talk about tonight is also shares that characteristic, which is in Sedona, kind of on the border of Mexico and southern Arizona.
Oh shit. Let's go. Yeah.
And so there's been some really interesting stories, and I'll kind of give my thoughts after I'm kind of go through some of these. So it is basically what the Indians, the natives there, called the Doorway of the Gods, or I think. Anyway, I'll just go through. I've got it in here somewhere. So basically, two brothers went on a big treasure hunting adventure in starting in March 1956, and it lasted about 2 years. It was Ron Quinn and his brother Chuck. They basically saved up a bunch of money and had said, hey, we're going to go treasure hunting. And that was like apparently a big thing to do back then. Fuck it. Why not?
That sounds fun. That sounds fun.
It does kind of sound fun.
Fucking camping.
Not, hey, honey, I'm leaving to go buy a pack of cigarettes. Hey, honey, I'm leaving to go on an epic treasure hunt in a foreign country.
Shit, if I could afford it, that would be my life.
Like, exactly.
That would be sick. Yeah, just like travel the world looking for ancient relics and shit. Hell yeah.
You know how much shit is buried under the ocean? Like, yeah. Those could be a fucking treasure hunter if you got the right people together and people that can dive. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be
okay. Sorry,
a ton of fun.
Hunt for the portals to the other dimension.
Hunt or Atlantean ruins.
Yeah, Atlantean ruins. Find the Fountain of Youth.
Maybe that's what these stargates are.
Yeah,
it could be. So that's kind of the cool thing about all these stargates and whatever. It's like there's so many like grandiose like depictions of what they could be. And this one's like a little bit different. It's still, you know, like crazy, right? We'll get into that. But so they get like 3 weeks into this trip. And then they, as they're settling down for the night, they see two large balls of blue-green lights slowly descending behind the mountains a couple miles away from their camp. There was no sound, and the lights disappeared after a couple minutes. And the next night, they saw the same thing. And throughout their two-year treasure hunting adventure, they saw this happen periodically over the months. It wasn't like every night, but it was just kind of like infrequent. So eventually they run into a couple locals, and a lot of these stories are the collections of like ancient tales, firsthand, you know, encounters or stories with this doorway, and a lot of it is comes from the Indian tribes as well. So this is where all this comes from, is the locals they meet, and then they listen to these stories, and then there is one at the end where they actually have an encounter with it. But they eventually meet Louis Romeo, who is a local cowboy and ran a ranch nearby, and apparently these sightings in the sky with the lights, people have been seeing that since 1939. So about the past 20 years before they went on this adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like orbs.
Yeah, it does sound like orbs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It does. They
calling back
they
to
also
that. Yeah, what we talked about.
Yeah.
What?
Calling so we talked about orbs on
we
the
talked
last
about
episode.
Orbs last week.
Yeah,
oh,
sorry.
Okay. I will have to
it's
get
just interesting how they're kind of connected now, but
yeah.
Oh shit. Okay. This is gonna go deeper than I thought it was.
Yeah, oh yeah. I'm right. I'm taking notes. I'm taking notes, David.
Excellent. Excellent. So the brother, they also met John. I don't have a last name for him, but he is a local Native American. And they met him on the side of a road with a flat tire and with his truck, and so they helped him out, and you know, John was very grateful for their help. And then they met up, I think, a couple months later, just kind of by chance, along one of the ranches, and John had taken up a job for one of the other local ranches, and so they just started talking and sharing stories. And they so the brothers had found this strange archway, but they didn't really think of anything of it at the time. And so they told John, and John was like, there's something going on here. So he shared a bunch of stories about the area and what was going on, stories that his tribe has passed down. So one of them goes as follows. John told us around the 1800s, there were three Indians hunting, and upon their village, oh my gosh, if I can read this properly, three Indians were hunting, and upon returning to their village, they discovered this archway. Being in a jubilant mood, they began chasing one another through the opening in a playful manner. Moments later, one jumped through, but never emerged from the opposite side. Fearing they had entered some sacred ground of the gods, the remaining two fled the scene. After arriving at the village, they told the medicine man about how their friend had vanished before their eyes. As the story spread, others journeyed to the high plateau to gaze upon the stone structure. Rocks and other items were tossed through, but nothing occurred until an elderly woman approached. She tossed a live rabbit in, and it vanished. The Indians backed off in fear and spread the story of this doorway to the gods as it came to be known. So this is probably the first like official, widely known encounter where this guy just disappears. And John had mentioned he had been to the gate multiple times, but he didn't see anything strange until 1948. That was when the skies were filled with like dark storm clouds. But when he looked through the gate, and this gate is, it's more like a doorway, just kind of standing on its own. So it's like, let's see, the archway, it was about 7 feet high and 5 feet wide. And the columns were about like a foot and a half thick. So it's just like this big, random doorway in like this, the top of this kind of plateau. I don't think it has a specific name. People have just been calling it the Doorway of the Gods.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I don't think we'll find out if there's anything else in my notes, but I don't think there is.
Okay.
But yeah, so in 1948, there were dark storm clouds, and he looked through the gateway, and it was clear on the other side. It's like clear as daylight. No storm clouds, no nothing. So he started like peeking around the corner, you know, just to make sure, you know, he was like actually seeing shit correctly, and he wasn't, you know, he wasn't tripping or anything. And then he just ran away in fear. And he just didn't really go to that place very much afterwards. So the two brothers went there, and on their way they found two other treasure hunters who they would kind of run in with along their time as well. Their names were Roy and Walter. See, this is what I mean. It's like a popular thing to do back then.
How many people have this much money where they're just like, I'm just gonna go treasure hunt weird fucking relics? How many goddamn lore costs were there? Like, does that mean that there's, oh man,
where can I find these people?
Yeah, seriously. Like,
I know,
take
right?
me with you.
Yeah.
Oh,
I guess like God. This is what, you know,
has anyone made a movie about this story? Because this sounds like Maybe. The Mummy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, right.
Basically the same kind of thing going on. Yeah. The team up. Multiple treasure hunters, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Going this yeah, hell yeah. But and their names were Roy and Walter. I don't think I have last names for them.
Played by Brendan Fraser.
Yeah. And then we gotta get, I don't know if Keanu Reeves would be a good fit for this potential movie. I think it's a little bit too like brooding.
Billy
Zane, perfect.
Because he played Imhotep, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. But now he gets to play. What was the guy's name? What were the characters? Roy and what?
Roy and Walter.
Mm-hmm.
Roy and Walter.
Yep.
Yes. There we go. All right.
Hell yeah. So the area, the ground around this doorway. Is fucking, sorry, there's a lot of story to go through. So
I'm sorry. If I can,
do shit later. So there's like a bunch of geo deposits. I'm just out of it right now. I took a nap before this, so I'm still like half waking up, half like getting caffeine into my system. And some of these geodes were kind of cracked open. So they, when they found this, you know, the four of them went to this doorway. They kind of messed around with it and joked around with one another. One of them like stuck his hand through and like screamed and like, oh God, he like pretended that he was being pulled through the doorway. Like nothing was happening.
What? Not only are there just like lots of explorers back in the day, but they're also dicks.
And they also, at this point, they were like kind of friends and buddy buddies, and they were just like, oh, you motherfucker, you son of a bitch, don't you do that.
This is like pure Americana, like,
yeah.
I love
and,
it. Treasure hunters. And...
Yeah, you're just like, gotta entertain yourself somehow, I guess.
It's a good story so far.
Yeah, and it's so ultimately nothing happened with that encounter, but they collected a bunch of geodes and kind of rode off with it. So that was like the uneventful thing, and then so time passes by, and then there was one night where it was roundup time for a nearby ranch, and they all kind of sat beside their fires, like getting dark and just kind of winding down for the night, and then they noticed that. That night was particularly still and quiet. Like normally you'd hear, you know, some kind of chirping or some kind of wind or whatever, right? But it was just like very silent for some reason. And the livestock also seemed very restless for some unexplained reason. And as they were going to bed, they heard horses approaching. They're like whining and stampeding across the desert plains. And As the rumbling reached the opposite side of the canyon, the sounds just like suddenly stopped. And so they woke up the next day and they searched for traces of, you know, no one knew what to make of it. They looked for any signs of the horses and they couldn't find anything.
So phantom horses now?
Phantom horses.
The Wild Hunt.
The Wild Hunt. Hunt.
Yep. So that was another weird thing that happened specifically to them. This story comes from a different local rancher. I don't think I have a name for him, but he told his story about having seen a Spanish padre who was long dead near the archway. And it goes, several hundred years earlier, a Jesuit priest, whose name has long since been forgotten, built a small mission east of Arivica, which I think is, hold on. It does explain what Arivica is. Okay, whatever. Anyways, the residents gave their most treasured possessions to him for safekeeping, as they feared robbery. These were hidden somewhere near the church grounds. So one morning, a Mexican woodchopper found the elderly padre dead. This is several hundred years ago. After he was put to rest, the villagers suddenly realized he was the only one who knew of the location of these valuables. They searched, but then never found anything. So this is kind of, I guess, where people decided to go treasure hunting. They're like, oh, lost treasure from hundreds of years ago that no one knows where it went.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to find it. So over the years, many cowboys and others have reported seeing a dark-robed figure walking near the site of the old mission, which has long since crumbled back to the dry earth. The description given resembles that of a Spanish padre. One rancher told us, quite frankly, nobody will ever convince me otherwise. I know what I saw that afternoon. The figure wasn't any ghost. It walked across a wash, disturbing the gravel and casting a long shadow. The figure slowly became transparent, shimmered several times, and then vanished. So that was this random rancher's story.
Hmm. How did the padre die again? Sorry, how did the padre die again?
It was unknown.
Unknown.
Oh, how this padre died. There are theories about this, which we'll get to soon.
Sorry.
Yeah. So, this is just like a collection of stories, and we'll kind of put everything together. There's a couple more to go through. Louis, which was the first rancher that they kind of befriended. So Louis and another one of his fellow ranchers found the skeletal remains of what appeared to be an ancient Indian less than a mile south of the archway. This may have been the Indian who disappeared through the archway initially. Beside the body, and this is according to Louis, beside the body was a rotted bow. The Indian's clothing was of animal skins, and a leather moccasin clung to one foot. The skull and one leg were missing, and Louis noted that the body didn't resemble that of a 200-year-old remains. So may not have been the Padme. That might have been the Indian. Another story. Walter and Roy, who were the two rando treasure hunters, mentioned during one of their return trips to the Stone Archway, they went back for some more geodes, basically. They saw the archway shimmer for several minutes before the effect slowly faded. During this time, they both felt a strange pressure within their ears. So during the summer, you know, this middle of the fucking desert, right? It can get up to about 110 degrees in this area, which can, you know, cause illusions from the heat waves and whatever. Mm-hmm. This happened in mid-January. So it wasn't the heat just creating an illusion. So that's another little note that's unexplained. The two brothers, wow, they also met another trio of treasure hunters.
God damn, how many?
I don't know. I think this is the last set, according to these stories. The brothers,
you gotta
met
have sequels, man.
I know, right? There's so many, yeah, so many
Mummy Returns, okay?
Yeah.
Yep. Who told the brothers about rocks falling from the sky. Basically, they were just riding along, doing nothing, and all of a sudden they started feeling these tiny little rocks about the size of peas just kind of dropping on their hats. But here's the thing. The sky was completely clear, and they weren't riding underneath any cliffs or anything that could have caused the rocks to fall. And the rocks were warm to the touch. It was an odd description that they gave. So that's another weird thing, just raining random pebbles, harmlessly, okay. Like wine. And here's the last one. So this archway is on top of this kind of plateau, this mesa kind of structure. And so there's like canyons like leading up to it and whatever. So Ron had a encounter when he went back to visit the archway. This is kind of like towards the end of their trip. He ascended the slopes when he saw a canyon to his left, which had not existed before. Because at this point, he had gone up and down. He was pretty familiar. And according to his notes, I soon discovered I was in the same canyon that led toward the hill I had just scaled. I was more than 250 yards back down the canyon on a different slope, and now I was facing south. I had mysteriously been transported to the new location. Thinking I was looking west, I was really looking east, seeing the canyon I had just hiked. There was no way on earth I could have reached this other slope while climbing the original hill. Knowing where I was, I suddenly knew why this had happened. Any skepticism I had had about this crazy sight had vanished. So, just gets teleported around. And these are... that's all for the collection of stories with this place. And I'll kind of give my initial thoughts and I'll kick it off to you guys. So kind of like what I was saying earlier is that with all of these like Stargate, you know, potential Stargate sites across the Earth, it's all about these grandiose stories. Like there's a doorway to the gods or aliens came through or some interdimensional being, whatever. Right. This is just like a bunch of random fuckwads wandering in the desert, all experiencing weird shit around this area, you know, within like a mile or two radius of this area, falling rocks, falling pebbles, like harmless pebbles from the sky, optical illusions, pressures in the ear, like looking through the doorway and seeing like a clear sky on like a stormy day or whatever. Yeah. The only harmful thing that happened is someone like teleported when they jumped through and they apparently found his remains. Seems and with like a skull and a leg missing, which is weird.
Yeah.
Right. This is just like a collection of average stories that like, why would anyone lie about this? Right. Yeah. This is not like some grand epic mystery or anything. It's just like a bunch of weird shit happens. And people are just kind of like passing down.
There's no scam really involved either.
Yeah,
there's no scam. It's not like, hey, I'm gonna scam. Like, go wander this desert for the treasure, dumb what?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. No. Like, if it was a single story, I'd be like, people make up shit. But the fact that there's multiple groups of people, like explorers and ranchers, cowboys, that are all, you know, saying these things, may make me go, something's out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
For sure. Oh, shit. I think I skipped over a story. I'm sorry. There's one more. Yeah, I totally skipped over. Okay, this is the last one, I swear. Another story involves two cowboys searching for a sick bull. They split up, and one stopped on a hill near the archway. He felt a few stones bouncing off his hat, but no one was nearby. He saw... so this guy's like up, elevated, so he can kind of see everything. So he saw his partner several hundred yards below. They kind of signaled to each other and said, hey, what's up? You know, this is where we are. And when this guy up on the hill was going back down the hill, he saw some Spanish soldiers about half a mile away, riding in single file in tunics, lances, and helmets, which shimmered before fading away. The only fort in the direction that the Spaniards were traveling in was the Presidio, located at Tubac during the Spanish occupation of the area. So we've got phantom, multiple instances of phantom people riding off and shimmering, got multiple instances of the rocks. It's not just like one person or one group saying this. Yeah, there's just like a bunch of stories from random people corroborating the same kind of thing. Just like, and these people don't, you know, they're just totally disconnected. So anyways, that's that's some more fuel for the fire. So yeah, again, it's like, why would anyone lie about this stuff?
Yeah. Well, it's like any weird, any town, you know, they have their legends, right?
Yeah,
the old town. It's kind of like that same kind of thing you're talking about. They're just like shit that's happened that people pass down, you know? And then you have this collection of crazy, crazy ass shit.
Yeah, crazy, like crazy, almost like ghost stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty interesting. What do you think the, what's your opinion, David? Like, what do you think about the Stargate idea? Or like,
I'm thinking,
what do you think it, what do you think's going on?
I think maybe, okay, you know, presuming that the Stargates like actually work and stuff and they've been active before, I think maybe this one, because this one is just kind of like small. It's like a 7 foot high, 5 foot wide, and the columns were like a foot and a half, you know, thick. And it's just kind of like out in the middle of the desert on top of a plateau. So there's, and I don't think there's any other structures around it. So maybe this was a site where maybe this is like an experimental construction portal or something. And maybe something, or maybe some other, you know, whatever malfunctioned. And it's just creating these weird optical temporal distortions just at random, right? Maybe it's just like a little malfunctional. There's like a remnant of this gateway still kind of like flickering at random,
so, so it's semi-active
but like unstable and not really able to be, you know, controlled anymore. That would
I had a similar idea.
That was kind of where I was going, was like, I think it's broke.
It's
broken, and it can't, and like it just flares up here and there, and that's why we get these disturbances, and there's just pretty fucking inconvenient for the people involved, I guess.
Aside from the one Indian, it's just like, why am I getting rained on with rocks?
Why am I in this alternate dimension now? This isn't this. Yeah, whatever's on the other side, and just somebody just walks in at the wrong point, just wrong place, wrong time, quite literally, and transported to another dimension.
Yeah, and the illusions with the Spaniards is also interesting. Like, maybe this site kind of recorded what was going on, and just like when it was active, and so it's just like flickering, you know, past images.
Well, you, okay, so you think it's technology, right? You think it's a piece of technology, maybe?
Technology, it could be. It could just also be like a weird, weird area where just like weird shit. I don't know if there's like ley lines running through that. I didn't really check like the map.
Oh shit! We'll start again.
Yes, we talked about ley lines last week, and I was gonna bring it to that too. Awesome. But what do you think its purpose was, David? What do you like? I mean, we call it a Stargate, but like, given the evidence of the stories, what do you think its original purpose, given it's broken now, and you're kind of like mentally reverse engineering it? But like, what do you think its original purpose was?
Yeah.
Given its size, its dimensions, all of that.
Right. It's hard to say. Like, it's in this remote area.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this was like a back door from somewhere, or maybe this was like someone or like a group of people or entities or whatever. Like, maybe they constructed this thing to like hide something. It's not a big one. It's in the middle of nowhere. It doesn't seem very like sophisticated. So maybe it was just, like, scrappily like put together and served its purpose. And then they just said, you know,
it's like a one man unit, basically.
Yeah. Right. It could have been. Yeah. It could have just been the one person that transported, and it's just like that was all the energy it had and everything. That was just like doing weird shit now.
Yeah. That's kind of a cool idea, though. Just like a ramshackle, like just teleporter or something. It's just like
just lying around on Earth.
It's just like using spare parts to put it together.
Yeah, just spare parts, and the person that made it and the person certified to fix it are no longer with us.
No, it's just causing problems.
Yeah, it's just causing problems, like, and just like cosmic problems that affect human beings. They're just wandering by, just like, just trying to find my cattle, man. Why the fuck am I getting zapped?
Its power cell had like a 10,000 year half life, and it's just like starting to get to the end, and it's just
just freaking out every 3 years or something. Is there any correlation of like the years of these incidents?
Oh, not pattern.
A pattern.
No, I wasn't able to find dates on all of these things, but just the source I looked at didn't have like it only had like sporadic dates with some certain things. Like John said he saw the lights since 1939, or people have been seeing them since 1939.
Okay.
But the local Indian tribe, I think, said they had been witnessing stuff like before that. It was just like, you know, around World War II, people started like taking notice of this area. Maybe they were looking out for the Germans or some shit, and they were like, hey, what the fuck are these energy balls in the sky?
Yeah.
A lot of UFO stories from World War II.
That's where you have where it really starts to kick off. Like, you have like the Foo Fighters, the supposed ships that were over Washington during Truman's period, and so on and so forth. That just like that was really when the era started. And there's stories before that, like we talked about the alien funeral, one of the first episodes. But that I think that this being noticed during World War II is no accident, especially because that's when you start getting all these sightings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, Huntley, it's your turn. You get to go next, Huntley. I'm gonna go last.
Okay.
I'm always gonna go last, just because I like to.
Yeah.
I think it's hilarious how we're like how often we're gonna be on the same wavelength, basically thinking the same things.
So. Yeah. So. I think what David and what we've all been joking about is it's broken, and that's what's causing it to have these incidents. I'm going to have to see if I can find any like kind of dates. Let's just see if I can find a pattern just to settle my mind on it. But I think the kickoff of the 30s is when there was, you know, turmoil in our world. That would, and that's when you start seeing more interference from interdimensional or outer space or whatever. And this is connected to that. This is, and they sense that their beings that created these stargates, these portals, are back looking around, and that it's feeding off that energy, and that's what's causing this one to malfunction. It activated it again, so to speak.
Oh, I see. That's I like that theory. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
cool. And like, because it was probably just very dormant, and then whatever its creator is somehow now starting to interact with the world, and all these things are starting to go off. This is just more conveniently located closer to a civilization. It's not like the ones that are underwater. Like, nobody's going down there all the time to check and see if that shit's going off.
I was just thinking about unidentified submersible objects, like, because a lot of UFO sightings go from the air into the water and disappear underwater. And it's like, what if there is some huge cavernous area that we don't perceive, you know, I guess maybe hollow earth theory here, but, you know, maybe there is like an active technology of the same thing there, you know, and that's just their like entrance point and exit point or something. Mm-hmm. Perfectly hidden. Humans don't have the technology to get there. No problems, you know?
Yeah. So no issues. And we wouldn't know because we don't, it's underwater. It's not like somebody sending a fucking expedition in the right area at the right time constantly to observe this.
Yeah.
Right. We need to set up some fucking underwater drones and start just observing this. Just set up like live or something, you know?
Yeah, some very deep sea submersibles. Mm-hmm. Yeah. God, that would be fun. That's the other thing. It's scary as hell at what's down. Because I know they sent some probes down to the Mariana Trench, and they came back all messed up, like chew toys and shit like that. And you got to wonder, like, they've also found colossal squids that have washed up, that have had, that were killed dead from the, like, the deep, deep sea. And they had bite marks, like a giant bite mark on it. And I'm like, what the fuck is down there? It's scary.
Yeah,
that's so scary. I don't know what the fuck is down there, but man, that shit scares me more than outer space.
Yeah, honestly. No, I agree. Just,
hopefully, no.
And hopefully Lovecraft was not correct. That's
We know. I like the activation signal idea. That's cool. Yeah. And this rinky-dink teleporter was just like patched into the global network. It was an unauthorized teleporter, one man unit.
It was a bootleg teleporter.
Yeah,
and that's together. Why it just sparked out. So it was probably. What if it was something that was trying to escape?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and it was just trying to piece together. Like, maybe an entity that in between us and like something that is like the interdimensional beings that we talked about that make you feel so insignificant that you can't even see them. What if something between that level and our level was just like, I got to get the fuck off this planet, realm, dimension, whatever the fuck you want to call it. And they built a shoddy portal and just bolted, and then after that it fried. But the big interdimensional being back searching for something is that reactivated it.
I like the idea of maybe like a crash landed like pilot, and because he doesn't have a physical form, like the whole idea that you can only come into the physical from the astral for a certain amount of time, like diving into water. But if you have like a scuba, if you have technology like a scuba gear or a submersible, things like that, you can be here longer. And so like, what if he crash landed and he was just like, oh shit, I got to get back. I'm going to die. I'm gonna die. So he's like, but maybe he had the technology.
Panic making a portal.
Yeah.
Just panic making it.
Maybe who knows what kind of technology. Maybe he could like, I don't know. Maybe he had the ability to sculpt. Maybe all he had to do was find a ley line and he had the ability to like sculpt stone like clay or something, or like liquid, or I don't know, something. But still, either way, it's just a neat idea. The crash landed pilot on an alien planet with a time limit.
Right.
We always make a movie out of this for some reason. And
we always do.
It's just like sets itself up so naturally, you know?
It does.
We don't even have to try.
Mm-mm.
All right. Let's hear your theory.
You ready?
I'm ready.
You ready? You ready to get weird?
I'm always ready to get weird.
Let's get weird. All right. So I'm going to touch on a few things. The ley lines thing, that was where my mind first went as far as like their locations. It makes sense if these are some sort of like artificial weak points between the astral and material realms. The technology of some sort. What powers it? I don't know. Clearly, they only need to use stone to really structure this technology. So it's obviously a technology that is very different than ours. So whether that means alien or whether that means Atlantean, maybe, I don't know. I'm going to bring it back to that in a minute, though.
Mm-hmm. Let me interject something real quick. So there were a bunch of geodes around the area. So maybe
crystalline power
technology.
Yeah, the batteries. Yeah,
maybe it was just like something within like the rock structure right there. And this guy was like, this is a good place.
Yeah.
So maybe just something innate about the area is like a power source.
I'm going to touch on that, actually. Thank you for bringing that up, because that makes me even more... I got my theory going, so... Nice. All right, let's see. Some of the... What I think are signs of those being artificial weak points between the astral and material realm are the orbs. Seeing the orbs, Huntley and I were talking about orbs last week, and that they're basically like... what I consider them to be are spirits without a perceptual form, meaning you're... It's like a human spirit, but you're seeing it without any perceptual filter, meaning it has to, like, whoever it used to be, it's been there maybe so long that it's degraded into this phantom-like thing that basically no longer remembers who it was, so it only has, like, this...
So it can't conceive its true form, what it previously was. Yeah, it can't project its form anymore.
Exactly, because when you're in the astral realm, from what I understand, you construct your avatar, sort of. Mm-hmm. Like, it's thoughtful. You know, it looks how you want it to look, but for people who just die, who have never even heard of astral projection or any of that, you know, in their lives, they probably just think about how they already look, you know? So, like, there you go, you know? So, ghosts, maybe that's what ghosts turn into. I don't know. We were kind of talking about that last week, but that's a sign that these are, to me, these are weak points, because that's a paranormal sort of, you know, kind of event, and so is the Padre and seeing these, you know, there's a lot of the ghost horses and stuff, and there's a lot of, obviously, paranormal or things going on around this, which makes me think it's a weak point, an artificial weak point.
Yeah.
Also, with most of these kind of circular, like, locations, whether it be the doorway, which does have a different design than Stonehenge, but they all kind of do use similar patterns, I guess, like, geometrically speaking. 'Cause I noticed the T, it was kind of shaped like a T, the doorway was in the picture. I looked up. Is that the same one you're looking at, David? If you look at a close-up of it?
The
doorway of the gods. Yeah, there's the pictures of it. It's almost like a T-shape, which is interesting because the pillars in Göbekli Tepe, I always have trouble pronouncing that.
They're also pillars, T-shaped.
Yeah, they're also T-shaped. So maybe that's one way to design these. Now you think of what a hinge looks like, Stonehenge. It's more of a, it's not a T, but it's more of a, I don't, you know, I guess more of a square shape than a T, I guess, but maybe it has a similar effects. Maybe you have to change the design on larger scales. I don't know, you know, but I think it's interesting that they seem to use similar geometry. Now, the people who are often involved in these locations are of a spiritual nature, a priesthood, the Druids with Stonehenge. And, you know, there's a lot of debate about what they were doing in these locations and things like that. And, I mean, I guess they were communicating with the gods. But there was also a lot of astrological reasons for these structures, too. And there's always those alignments. So, to different astrological points in all of them. And Göbekli Tepe is pretty much one of the oldest monoliths of that type that we know of. It is dated, I think, around 2600 BC, so 12,600 years ago, which just happens to be in the range of the Younger Dryas impact, which is the theory that a commentary fragment struck the Earth in the North American ice shelf, because this was during the previous ice age, which is when Atlantis was believed to possibly have existed, right? I'm bringing it to Atlantis, so might as well go ahead and start putting some of that in there. But so this structure was built right after maybe the destruction of this massive impact, you know? So maybe it was survivors trying to, like, I don't know. Maybe they're just trying to bail on Earth or something, or get somewhere else on the planet. You know what I mean? I mean, who knows? Or maybe it was a memorial. I don't know. Well, it could be a memorial to the dead even. But either way, another structure that's similar, but not the same, would be the mounds. In Celtic mythology, you have the fairy mounds, which are kind of these weak points between the spiritual realms and the earth, the material realms. The same thing in the Americas, you have the mounds that are these Native American structures, the mound builders. And they're considered very holy places, which sometimes are mistreated, sadly, but they all have these great legends around them too, and they have a lot of that same kind of, a lot of paranormal activity happens around them because they are the same kind of concept. So it's interesting. That's another one you can kind of add to that list of the greater, I guess, picture of these, I guess, teleporters, I guess we can call them. I don't know. That's kind of what I'm thinking they are, though. I'm thinking that these are, like, not alien necessarily. I think they're Atlantean tech, maybe. Because maybe if you could tell somehow figure out a way, I don't know, to transmit matter. I mean, there's ideas around that with quantum mechanics, but we're not nearly at a point where we could really understand how it would be possible to transmit matter. Information's a whole nother thing, you know, with quantum entanglement. But nonetheless, one day, who knows, right? Maybe we'll rediscover that, hey, it is possible or something. And I think that, yeah, these are just really old teleporters. And like we talked about, like, it's just some shoddy put together kind of escape vehicle kind of thing or something. I don't know. The pressure in the ears thing I thought was interesting because in any of your, I don't know if you guys, any of your studies of paranormal activity of any kind or UFOs or other things, have you ever heard of people suffering from infrasound effects? Infrasound is really weird. And for some reason, it's a common theme at a lot of these supernatural sites. where it doesn't affect everyone this way, but I think it's like 65% of the population. It has different effects on you. It can make you nauseous and give you extremely high anxiety and make you feel like you have to get away as fast as possible. And this is like below human hearing, but it still affects us in these crazy ways. So when I heard about the pressure in the ears, I don't know. I kind of wondered maybe if that could be part of what's going on. I have absolutely no reason to believe
mechanism.
That. Yeah, it could be. I don't know. I mean, that's a completely baseless theory I'm going to throw out there. But yeah, maybe it's infrasound.
A mechanism of just being like, hey, you can't process this. Your little mouse brain can't process this. I'm going to inflict some kind of nauseous pain on you so you get away from me. Like, yeah. It's just kind of whatever created it. Like, that's probably part of the manual is like a defensive.
Yeah.
Mice brain people away.
Yeah. Hold on. What? We have this in my yard. There's this solar powered. I have a portal in my yard.
The fuck are you doing here? Escape!
No, get out. This ain't worth it. Get out. You guys can come with me.
Save yourself.
Thank God. Save yourself.
So we got these devices that, like, they're solar powered and they like send vibrations into the earth like every once a minute or something. It's basically a snake repellent because the snakes don't like the vibrations that are sent out into this earth. So maybe that's like just an innate feature of this. Like, hey, if you want to keep these stupid little pesty humans away, it's just like, fuck you.
That's a good idea. Yeah. That's a good idea. Yeah, it's a feature, not a bug.
Yeah. It's not the teleporter wigging out. It's with purpose to keep mice brain people away. Go on.
Oh, shit. Well, what about the other percentage, the 35% it doesn't affect? Maybe they have Atlantean DNA. Okay, I'm done. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah,
maybe.
Maybe. There's got to be something. It's got to be like, I'm not one of those people that believes every part, like in the supreme destiny, but the Atlanteans could be the chosen people. That like when they walk to it, it just doesn't affect them. It's maybe like, maybe the people that didn't like, I'm with Andy, the people like Roy and Walter who didn't really, or were Roy and Walter the ones that felt the pressure in the ear?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe it was their other rich buddies that they met mutually and, like the Moose Club of Treasure Hunters.
Yeah.
The Moose Club. They're all wearing like fez hats and shit.
They're all wearing fez hats as they go there.
Like cooking jackets and pipes.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, maybe there's a connection there of just like they have Atlantean DNA and they don't know about it because they're just treasure hunters. You're not going to bother researching this shit if you got the money to go treasure hunt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
unless you're a good treasure hunter.
Yeah,
these guys are talking about the experienced ones that are like the ones that comic books are based off of, not the people that go to the Moose Lodge and go, "You want to go look for some treasure today?"
Yeah, like the professional hunters.
Right? They're the professional hunters, not the weekend warrior hunters.
Yeah, the weekend warrior. Yeah, two years in the desert. Ah, that ain't shit.
Two years in the desert, motherfucker. I've been here for 20 years.
Oh god,
wouldn't it suck if you were like the 20-year veteran searching for this shit and a couple of weekend warriors just like, oh hey, I found it. I would be pissed if I spent 20 years and I couldn't find it and just a couple of fucking schmuck treasure hunters just walked up on it on accident. And I'd just be like, motherfucker,
I'm gonna lie,
that's supposed to be my glory.
That's the third movie in the trilogy.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, and then
that's
like
the retirement movie for Roy and Walter.
Yeah.
So like the original hunter like sends a like this dying breath like in his will, like pays this bounty hunter to go hunt Roy and Walt.
Oh god.
Roy and Walter. History's written by the victors. I'm gonna be the one that found this site, not those fucking Moose Lodge weekend warrior motherfuckers. What the fuck?
Oh god. Did either of you ever watch the show Stargate SG-1?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so
fuck yeah.
And what about Stargate?
I still
Stargate
watch
Atlantis?
It.
Okay, yeah, me too. Okay, good. So what we've described is essentially kind of the same thing. Like, they had to have the Atlantean gene to activate Atlantean technology, and like, mm-hmm. you know, like, I think maybe, you know, we talked about soft disclosure. I mean, they even had episodes in Stargate SG-1 joking about the Air Force and other stuff putting semi like truthful information out there as a show to dissuade people with plausible deniability. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of like, that's kind of meta, but yeah, you know, yeah. It's like the show.
Stargate,
the show
I really feel, yeah, I really feel like Stargate was the shows were so ahead of their time.
I loved them.
Well, and yeah. Here's the thing,
like, and universe.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, like, the military has a big say in what goes on in Hollywood too.
Oh yeah, so, people don't realize. Yeah.
Just look at like even on your most basic level of just like when we're gearing up for conflict with another country, there is more war movies released than usual.
Yeah. Interesting.
That's all propaganda.
Yeah, it's all fucking mind propaganda.
Shit.
It's all propaganda. That's why we need the John Nada glasses.
I didn't really think about like the increase in war movies before we start like invading.
Yeah.
Interesting. But that makes sense.
Oh.
Holy.
Yep. Programming.
Yeah, conditioning is
fun. I'm here to kick ass.
I watched that movie last night after we talked about it last week.
Which one?
They Live.
I gotta watch it again.
Yeah, I watched it last night. I was just like, I haven't watched They Live in like 10 years, and I watched it, and I was just like, this is such a good movie. Oh, I have a
very, but you have a very different perspective on it now.
Very different perspective on it.
Learn all your
esoteric
studies, and
It's very, there's so many like old classics I watch that I'm just like, new set of eyes on it.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Well,
go on.
Here's the pitch. We got to weave the story together. So Roy and Walter, it's both a treasure hunting movie, but also a crashed alien movie. And Roy and Walter in the first movie have to meet the alien who crashed here, and they help him survive and help him build. And it's like an E.T. kind of origin story kind of thing, you know, like the OG E.T. phones home. And, you know, we can make this both like a kid friendly, you know, epic trilogy of movies, and it'd be like part Indiana Jones, part
E.T.
That's my movie I'm making. I'm making a kids movie. It's going to be very popular. It's going to be directed by Spielberg, and it's going to make a lot of money. So you guys, you can go rated R if you want.
You're not doing it. You're playing it safe. You're playing it safe for that sweet merchandise money, aren't you?
Yeah, I've got to cast the wide net.
Merchandise.
Merchandising.
Yeah. Merchandising. Spaceballs. Yeah.
Oh.
All right. What's your movie pitch?
My movie pitch is interdimensional being crashed. And he wants to get off this realm. So he makes a shoddy teleporter. But the reason why he makes the shoddy teleporter is because he can't do it by himself. So he gets humans to help him, and they just can't follow directions.
Mm.
It's a comedy.
Comedy about the ineptitude of humanity
trying to piece together an interdimensional portal, and of course they fuck it up.
Dark comedy.
Oh, it's always going to be a dark comedy. Because they fuck it up so bad, they have wrecked innumerable lives, like the Padre, like the explorers, like the Spanish soldiers, and it's just like long, and it's just like. They keep on getting fried, stuck in other dimensions, or they die because the portal half activated, so they're split in half into separate different realms. And
that's what happened to the Indian kid. He was missing his head and his leg.
Exactly. He got sliced in like half. And it's just like Some of his limbs got teleported into one dimension, and the other ones just stayed here. And all because his fellow tribesmen can't follow directions.
Can you hold on? Pause. Can you imagine being the technician on the other end, wherever people teleport to in the astral realm?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "Oh shit! Unexpected
arrival.
Stargate activation arrival." He's like, "I wonder what we have today." And this fucking head and leg, just severed head and leg.
It would be like receiving a blank pack. It would be like that would be terrifying. It would be like receiving just a blank box in the mailbox, and you're just like, and there's like a little bit of blood on, and you're like, "I don't know if this is for me or not." I don't want to open this, and that's what's happening on the other side of this dimension. It's just shit's just coming through, and he's just like, "What the fuck?"
No, hold on. But this is your dark comedy, though. So, like, in your dark comedy, it can just cut to that scene.
He's just there, just like trying to eat his lunch, and then a severed head comes at him. He's just like, "Why do they keep doing this to me?"
Oh god. Yes. Okay.
Oh, he's just angry. He's just angry like all the time because he's always on edge at his job because he's like, "What's gonna fly at me today? Pebbles, Native American heads, fucking Spanish soldiers just coming through," and he's just like, "What? This is the worst job ever."
This is one
we're
of
bringing
the,
it back.
Interdimensional accountants.
Yes.
It's one of the accountants that are so sick of his, his fucking
clock
shitty
in, clock out.
Interdimensional job.
Yeah. And the technicians are just like the accountants. They haven't unionized yet, so they just keep on getting fucked.
Yeah,
he's
the ones in the portals, and like, imagine this. Imagine like the other functioning portals, like Stonehenge, and the one that's at the bottom of Lake Michigan, work perfectly fine. And those people are just so happy. And this one little place in Arizona just keeps on fucking up one person's life. And he tells his coworkers, and he's just like, "Did you guys get severed heads in your lunchbox today?" And they're just like, "Nah, man.
So I didn't get the severed head. I got the rattle."
I wish we had certified technicians to fix this shit, but you just got this. That's the like low man on the totem pole job. That's like the janitor job of it all. Dude. You eventually get promoted to the Stonehenge one, and you're just like, "Life is good. I don't have random shit popping out at me every 10 to 15 years."
Oh my god. He's like, he spends his days.
I know what's going to happen.
Because he's just some shitty bureaucrat who actually like he has no performance reviews or anything, right? So he just spends his days like watching reruns of the old original Star Trek, wishing he was Scotty, wishing he was out having these adventures, and he's just like eating his lunch.
just a random head and leg just running at me.
All right, cool. Oh. All right. David, your turn. Pitch.
Oh my god, I cannot top this.
Yeah, you still got to.
Oh, you gotta try.
Oh, dude.
Holly won this one so far.
I think Holly's gonna win no matter what. But thinking is like, I don't know how this would all piece together, but I'm imagining like a just like a dark, like Lovecraftian horror story where. This guy lost, and he's making this gateway to try to like try to escape from this shithole of a planet. But he realizes he needs like living energy to like power these rocks properly, and so he starts making sacrifices of the people nearby, of like the livestock, and maybe that explains like the goons of these Spanish soldiers and like the random horses stampeding across the plains. It's like those are their last memories before this crazy demented mad scientist just like abducts them and sacrifices them and like puts their life force into this this gateway for like one last go so he can just escape, and then he escapes. So I guess the whole movie would just be like this brooding, like, oh shit, what's he gonna fucking do now? Like, crazy cowboy. Why is there only a head and a leg that he took from this one specific Indian? There's like something magical. Like, what the fuck is going on?
You're going pure horror movie. I like it.
Yeah, you're going pure horror movie.
Exactly.
Andy's going David Cronenberg on us, like, with just like high level fucking shit. And I'm literally just being like, just severed heads just falling from a portal on some poor fucking technician.
I would watch each of those. So
I would too. So David's going psychological horror. Mm-hmm. You're going David Cronenberg, and I'm going trauma. Trauma films.
Yeah.
A Toxic Avenger. Just ridiculous.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Film. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Yep. Toxic Avenger. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
God, that's been a minute.
Oh, I know. I might watch that tonight. The original Swamp Thing.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, great. Fuck yeah. Oh. Well.
All right.
Yeah. This one was a good one.
It's a good laugh.
It was a good laugh at the end. Yeah, it's just like just random chaos. No, I really, 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 really want to know just like some kind of time sequence of what of these incidences that happen. Yeah, the activations. Because that would be cool. That was my big question, and I'm gonna have to do some go down a rabbit hole later.
Yeah,
find the pattern.
I'll show you the link that I have about this.
Sweet.
That could be your like template to build off of.
Yeah, and because I'm gonna go weird.
Yeah, because like I didn't want to like research this, you know, like you're planning on doing like too much because.
No, half the fun of this show is just coming up with ridiculous theories.
True. Yes. This is very true.
Yeah.
But
our riffing is the best.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's hell yeah.
Well,
the movie ideas. I mean, we're gonna get rich. Yeah,
so, somebody's gonna listen to this and beat us to the punch. They're gonna write it and
they're gonna
sell
steal
it.
All of our ideas.
Steal all the ideas, make a new like trauma film.
But here's the thing, I don't have the finance or capital or time or patience to make a movie, write a movie script or sell it or anything, so you know what, I would still like to watch these movies, so fuck it. If someone's listening, yeah. you mm-hmm. can, for the moment, you can take my ideas until I change my mind. Yeah. I reserve the right to change my mind.
Yeah, I reserve the right to change my mind too.
I want to watch these movies. I want to see
them. I want to watch them too. Oh, right.
There's no original. There's nothing original anymore. So yeah.
No, there isn't. So
and this is all derivatives of hell, anyways. But yeah.
Well, we're gonna have to touch on that on later. But
sorry.
No, if you like what you hear, we're the High Kind. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, even Deezer. We're on almost every platform that we can think of. Give us subscriptions. Give us likes. And helps people find the show because we like to get on Twitch and rant about this every Wednesday night. Yeah.
Indeed.
So, anybody got any plugs?
I do not.
All right. Andy?
No.
No.
Nothing to plug.
Nothing to plug. Yeah, same here. All right. Have a great night.